Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin is an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you track with the points I want to make out of the gospel lesson that'll serve as the basis for our sermon this morning from the gospel of St. Mark. We're going to focus on this part in particular. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." I'm going to ask for forgiveness right up front that I have come down with something. My voice is not as strong as it normally is, so we're gonna do our best here. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was reading an interesting story about a self-made millionaire. He was teaching a seminar at a university about how he made his fortune from nothing, and he spoke about how he had left school at an early age and worked hard throughout that season of life to make ends meet, and it was during that time that he started taking some risks. And eventually, those risks paid off, and he said he is where he is at today because of those risks that he took. And he adamantly promoted the idea that anybody could do what he did. So he challenged those listeners at that seminar to go out and make their fortune from nothing just as he had done. So when the seminar ended, people, as they usually can at these things, were allowed to ask questions. A young man stood up and he looked at the millionaire and he said to him, "I dare you to do all of this again." The guy presenting was speechless. He was taken aback by that. He didn't know how to answer this because he got to thinking, could he risk all of it again? Would he be prepared to give it all up and try again, make his fortune from nothing, now that he actually had a whole lot of something? See, when he was poor, he had nothing to lose. He was prepared to take risks when the stakes were low, but now that he was rich, everything was different. Now that he had wealth, his approach to life had changed, and he recognized in himself the truth that he was very attached to the things that he had acquired and the money he was able to obtain. In fact, money had altered his view, his priorities, and the way he approached everything in his life. And this is one of the key points that is being brought out in our text for today. And it speaks very loudly to you and to me. Jesus Christ is telling the disciples and all of us that there should be nothing that we hold on to that alters, affects, or ruins the way that we approach our relationship with God Almighty. What God wants from us is the kind of trust, the kind of devotion, the kind of faith that he will take care of us no matter what, and that's like the faith that we see from the widow in our text. What little she had in the way of money, she just gave to God, fully trusting that he was her God and that he would take care of her. And so as you read any text in the Bible, you have to put yourself within the text and put yourself within the scenario and then start asking a few questions. How do I fit into this? What is going on here? How does this apply to me? And what can I learn from this? So, as we apply ourselves to this text, are we like the widow in the text? Willing to give up everything that we have as we trust in God? Or are we more like the scribes, the Pharisees, or the people who play it safe, who let our comforts and our securities dictate how we approach God? There's a term when you're playing cards that when you bet everything that you have, you are all in. That's the title of this sermon. And Jesus Christ is very clear in this text and in the story of salvation what our approach to God should be like and what our faith should be like. And it is not a whatever I can spare kind of faith that we are called to. We're actually called to a trust God with everything I have. I am all in on this kind of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to the outline. First blank. In our text, we have an example of what it means to really trust God. Now, is this Mark's opinion? Not at all. This is the point made by none other than Jesus Christ, as recorded by those following him. So next blank, Jesus brings the disciples over and he tells them, hey, take note on this one, guys. She is doing this whole believing thing correctly. And when he says someone is worth taking note of, you and I had better take note of what the person is doing. So what is she doing? Well, one of the things that gets clouded in this text is the emphasis of the text. This is your next blank. This isn't a text about moral living or just about stewardship. It's about trusting in God and our relationship with him. And that's what's so important about the widow. She is all in when it comes to trusting God. You know, the English of the text that we just heard read tells us that she dropped everything that she had financially into the offering box. Well, when you read the Greek, it actually has a different emphasis, and it tells us that it wasn't just dropping her money that she was doing there. It tells us that she had given everything she is, her very being, over to God, her whole life. And so after she dropped her offering in the plate, she would walk out of the temple with what? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing, though, but her faith in God. And that's all she needed. And this is what Jesus is doing here. He's pointing out to all of us what's truly important about being the people of God. And you got to remember this. As you read the text, do they have any interaction with each other? They don't. What is Christ doing? He's pointing out an example that we should follow because he is pointing this out, being the Messiah, knowing what is in her heart, knowing what is in her head, knowing what is in her soul. And that's our God. So he is pointing this out, and Jesus is challenging people who are giving only part of their life to him. This woman gave her whole life to God, not part of it. And this is what God wants us to know. He is not interested in part of your life. He wants it all. In fact, in Revelation, he makes this point. Look, I would rather you be one or the other, not lukewarm in the middle people. And so we need to make a note of this. There aren't many people that Jesus Christ points out and says, hey, be like them. Well, this lady is one of them. She lost her husband, which in those days meant she lost her source of income, meant she lost her place of status of any kind in society. Yet somehow, she believed that God had done right by her and trusted that he would continue to do right by her in the future. And this is where we again have to start asking some questions. This is where I just get pinned against the wall. Do I trust God like that? This is where I shout out, Lord, I believe, but really, please help my unbelief because I am not what you want me to be. Do we recognize what God has done for us, and are we all in on him, trusting that he has taken care of the past and he will provide for us in the future? We should, because of everything that we can point to that he has done for us. What's he done? So next blank, God has given us all we have. He's given us a Savior, life, food, clothes, etc. Do we believe he'll continue to provide for and save in the future? Do our lives, actions, faith, offerings, and witness show that we fully trust in God to be our keeper? The widow in our text trusted totally. Let's imitate her. And so, just as Jesus points out an example here for us to follow, we also see within this reading an example pointed out of what we are not to be like. That's the scribes and the Pharisees. These guys totally miss the point. They love to show off their fake religious commitment. On the outside, they look like they were doing the right thing before God. They wore the right clothes. They prayed really long prayers. Everybody respected them. But in their hearts, they were so far from God that it was a real concern. They only wanted God in the hopes of gaining the things of this world. And they wanted God when it was convenient for them. They didn't go all in on God and do the things that they were supposed to do. Ironically, one of the things that the Pharisees were supposed to do within their calling was to take care of the orphans and the poor and the widowed. And what does Jesus say they were actually doing? They were taking advantage of the helpless. Not only that, he uses some pretty frightening language. They were devouring their homes. And because of that, he says they're going to be in big trouble when it comes to the sentencing. That's frightening language. And we need to take this Jesus guy seriously because just as he is totally good for making promises and keeping them on the good end, he also is capable of making promises and keeping them when it doesn't work out so well for people. So we need to be thinking about this. Now, here's where you might be saying, well, look, I don't take advantage of people. I don't rip them off like these guys did. And the answer is no, you probably don't. But again, we have to ask ourselves some questions here. Do we have some of the same qualities that these guys had? How many of us have the same kind of approach at times that these guys had to God? The kind of view that maybe wants a little bit of God when it works into our schedule. Wants the kind of God we want when we want him. Or maybe only wants God to be around when it's convenient for us. How many of us call on God only in times of trouble when we want him to resolve a problem? Well, that's a kind of half-in approach to God. That's what these guys are all about. Now, here's the deal. Jesus loves you enough to put his word out into the ages so that you could hear it today and know what he wants from you and know that he cares for you and know that he wants something good for you. And what's great for you is when you go all in on him, not half in like these guys were. I don't know how well this reads in a room this size, but this is a gift that somebody gave me a while ago that I think is both hilarious and sad. It's a little butler bell that says "Ring for Jesus" on it. And so the implication here is that when you have a need or a concern, you ring this bell and you call Christ to come help you out of whatever jam you're in. And then whenever that whole situation's over, you just kind of put this back on the shelf until you need to call on him again. And you look at that and you go, I think that's a lot of the time how we actually approach God. Instead of this instrument that he's given us called prayer, we kind of treat him with this butler bell approach. Like, hey, you know, he's some divine genie or whatever, divine or Santa Claus, like we're getting ready to celebrate for Christmas. But this is the kind of approach that is sadly at the heart of the Pharisees' approach to God. Christ is warning us about that. So your next blank, Christ doesn't want us to be half in when it comes to faith in him. He doesn't want to be your butler. He wants to be your savior. There's a huge difference there because your savior doesn't want part of your attention, devotion, and love. He wants all of it because when we go all in on him, it benefits us like nothing else can benefit us. See, what this, that's what this is all about. Christ isn't so egoed out that he has to have your attention, that your trust or your love. It's not about his pride or anything like that. The reason he wants all of that is because he knows who it benefits when you go all in on him. And it benefits us, his brothers and sisters. That's why he calls us to this way of living. Again, it benefits us unlike any other thing that we can put our trust in. It's what we just saw in the elections this past week and the weeks leading up to it. Now, let me reiterate here. I think politics are crucial and important for us as people, and it is crucial that we are involved in this process. But they have limitations. Politics are politics. And the Christian church needs to stop acting like unbelievers when it comes to elections, because we kind of talk about this stuff in messianic terms. And so regardless of what side of the aisle you are on, what happened Tuesday is not reason for despair. Nor is it cause for celebration like Jesus is coming in the next 5 seconds. These things are very limited. And we need to understand that regardless of what happened at the ballots, the God who was in charge of everything on Monday is still in charge now. The God who was in charge of everything during the time of our text is still in charge now. The God who has been in charge for the 2,000 years since that text was written is still in charge now. It's not like we at the ballot kind of sprung him out of his cage and now he can go into action. We need to understand this. God is in charge and we need to go all in on our trusting him, because he is the one who can take care of the things that this world can't take care of. The politicians can't, our bank accounts can't, our job cannot. And so we need to believe in him. What's the payoff? It's pretty big. So next point, God sent his son to go all in for us. Christ gave all that he is on the cross to pay the price we could not pay, to make the offering to God we could not make. And so during his life and ministry on earth, on Good Friday, Easter morning, Ascension, he went all in for you and me, paid the entire debt for our sins. In fact, he paid the debt of the sins of the scribes, the debt of the sins of the widow. And he came to destroy the sin that gets in the way of us trusting in him. He came to destroy the death that made the widow in our text a widow. Only he could do that. And that's why, next blank, there is so much comfort in this text. Because the one pointing out the fact that our sins separate us from God is the one who came to die and rise and conquer those sins so that we could be forgiven and live eternally. Everything necessary for eternal life has been taken care of. And so because our Lord gave all of himself for us, the worst things that the world can throw our way are nothing when we are in him through faith. And when we give ourselves to him in response to his work, his sacrifice, and his love, we never have to worry about whether or not it will pay off, because he makes us the promise that it will. And guess what? This is a guy who, when he makes a promise, cannot break it. You know, recently in our house, our kids have celebrated some milestone birthdays. And during all this, I've been reflecting on my vocation as a father and the fact that I have been charged by God to raise them up in his ways and by his design. And I pray for them all the time, my wife and I do. And we pray that they will have happy lives. We pray that they will be educated. We pray that they will get married and will be blessed with children and will have good jobs and will be valuable members of society. All of that stuff is totally secondary to what we want most for them. What we want more than anything else for them is for them to grow up to be faithful to God Almighty, like the widow in our text. And I'm trying to do everything I can as a Christian dad to teach them that the most important and most crucial thing in our lives is to go all in when it comes to our God. Nothing else they take part in is as important as that. And that's what community is all about. Because not only am I called to take care of them in that regard, I'm called to support each and every one of you when it comes to living the Christian life, when it comes to following the Word of God, when it comes to following his design and his will. And all of those things get put into place when we start by going all in with faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the God of everything has made us a promise that the payoff for following him is massive, and he won't ever let us down. So our last blanks, our Lord spent himself fully for us so that our salvation could happen. For those who put their faith in Jesus, eternal life is assured. You can't even call it betting on God, because it's not a gamble when we go all in on him. The only surprise we will have in the afterlife is how awesome it is. Nothing is more important than that. So don't let anything in this world get in the way of that gift. Go all in for Jesus. You won't be disappointed. God bless that to be so. Amen. Would you please rise?